Well, if you have your Bibles, anybody brought their Bible or their phones or something, download all your stuff. We're going to deal with a message this morning called Dealing with Transition. Dealing with Transition, and I hope you got the appropriate information back there. Thank you, sir. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, I want to talk about moving forward successfully. Moving forward successfully. A topic is dealing with transition. You know, a lot of us have changes in our lives. Sometimes people have to go on without their husband or wife because they've died or because they've moved away, moved out of the house. And maybe you have to change in life because you were involved in a certain kind of work, and that work all of a sudden has closed shop, and you have to find a new job. You have to find a new career. Sometimes you've been with somebody for many years, and you know, you've been dating somebody, and all of a sudden that stopped. You know, and I guess you should have been married, first of all. Past your time being with somebody. I don't know. Okay, so I work in the field sometimes. I have a good time with my students in the college, you know, and sometimes they introduce, this is my girlfriend, they said, you know. And I said, well, how long are you guys together? Oh, we've been together for 7 years. I said, okay. She said, then she's not your girlfriend anymore. Legally, he's your wife. Oh, we have 3 kids too as well. But that's not your girlfriend anymore. Anyway, that's just my one man's opinion. What do I know? But anyway, you know, there's times you change different things. You have to move sometimes. Like, for instance, you know, we had to leave Thunder Bay when we went to school in the south. And it was very hot, 115 degrees. Moved into that time, there was kind of a drought season. It's always hot in the summertime in Oklahoma. I don't know if anybody, how many ever been to Oklahoma in the summertime? It is absolutely hot. You wonder if the devil even wanted to stay there. It's just very hot, hot place. And, you know, but a lovely place. I promise if you ever went there, you'd enjoy it. It's the, I guess, the belt buckle of the southern area for the Bible. But, so we moved to that community there, that center, and there was a lot of changes. There was lots of unnecessary things I felt. People told me, Pastor Roma, they said, you know, why do you have to go to Toronto? Why do you have to go to or Oklahoma, the Bible school? There's good Bible schools in their country. I agreed with them in every fashion because there were Bible schools that I could have gone to, good seminaries. But God didn't call me there. He said specifically to pack up and go to sit under Brother Hagin. And so that's what I did. I proceeded to go because the Lord spoke to me. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to mention a little bit about that because there's a lesson in there about transition. So let's go ahead and read our text, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul is talking to a bunch of people that he helped develop in terms of an organization of a group of people, a church. Paul was the founder of the church at Philippi. And he was what they call the apostle or the missionary who started that church. And you know what happened in Acts 16 and all that when he first went there. He was thrown in jail because of preaching the gospel. And he was helping people. And then we saw that jail shake and later on. And yet he went to jail later and struggled for some time and himself. And he talked about, he was writing a letter from a prison. And his letter here, he's saying to the people, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing. How many people know that if you focus on one thing, you're gonna get there? Amen? So sometimes you have to do that. I focus on one thing, and what is that? What is that one thing he focused on? He said this, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. First of all, we have to focus this area of forgetting about what happened to your past. There's so many people that are stuck about their past. They can't move forward. They can't make the transition. Maybe they had a great time in their job, and that's over. But you can't stay there. You have to move ahead. And then there's the other part is to look forward. Look forward is another thing. You know, we sang about hope this morning. If you got Jesus or you got God in your life, if there is a God, there's hope all the time. We look ahead. We look to what lies ahead, and we need to look at our lives and begin to look at something that should happen or could happen in your life that would be a good thing for you. There's always something that's going to happen to you. I like what Job 8:7 says, though your past was just a small, insignificant thing, but now your future looks a whole lot better. Sometimes we have a hard time moving forward for whatever reason. You'll never succeed if you want to remain in the same place, no matter what it is. If you want everything to be familiar all the time, if you always want the same thing, the same routine, you don't want any disruption in your life. If you're like that, you can't achieve the good things that you want to do. You have to be willing to take risks sometime. And, somebody might criticize you, but what have they done? Did they risk their life? Sometimes people say around here different things. I say, we don't see you, Ron. I don't say that, but I'm thinking that in my mind. They always want me to be in church every Sunday to preach, but I say, what about you? Have you been in church every Sunday for the last 30 years? And so they have to understand this. People have, like I said, people, they want the same thing. God told Abraham over here in Hebrews 11:8, Abraham is called the father of faith. It says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. I want you to say this with me. Say, by faith, I obey. So Abraham obeyed. He went out not knowing where he went or where he was going. Sometimes in life, God calls you to do something. You step out in different areas. You might not know every detail of how everything's going to plan out. And that's why you have to have faith, a solid foundation. We read in Bible school there, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hallelujah. The word substance talks about the grounds. The Word of God is the only place where you can get faith. You can't get faith by praying for faith. Faith comes by hearing what God says about you. How he set the spiritual laws. We have to know what his laws, he said. So when God sets spiritual laws and principles, then we can stand on that. That's the ground we stand on for whatever we're believing for. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews 11:1. And I like that song we sang as well this morning. This one thing I remain. This is my confidence. The scripture says in Psalms that we have confidence. I trust in the Lord. I have confidence because I trust in him. You can't have confidence without the Word of God. You need Scripture. That's why we tell people, they say, pray for me, pray for me. I said, what grounds are you standing on? What Scripture are you standing on? Because I can't agree on something I don't know. So our foundation is Scripture. So in other words, when God called Abraham, he went out, to a place, he didn't have all the answers. It's difficult to move on to the next level successfully unless you know God has a better plan. He has a better plan for you. Things might have not worked out as well. Maybe you were operating on plan C or plan B. But God wants you on plan A. He's always had a plan. God's always had a plan. There's no mistakes in this house. Even if you were, your mother got raped and you were born in that kind of condition, but God knew that and he always had a plan for you. Come on, let's get excited in this place a little bit. Let's have some response. Amen. I'm doing my best to cheer, to lead the cheer here. Amen. I want you to talk back at me sometimes. Just say, that's right, Pastor, that's right. This is the kind of church we live in. You could even just get up one sometimes and just do some of these dances like this, you know. You know how they do that in hockey games? How many people was happy that the Toronto Maple Leafs came back from a 2-0 deficit? Come on, let's hear some Leaf yell. Come on.
Yeah!
Oh, baby. Is there any Hab fans? They won too. See? Is there any Jesus fans in the house? Oh, baby, that's good. I'm in the right house. Well, I'm glad the Canadians are doing well. Ed probably didn't like that last night. They beat up on their Bruins for the first time for many, many years. Anyway, we have to be willing to leave everything about the past in order to move on successfully and with confidence. Making the step of faith is your first move, just like Abraham did. God will now give you the whole plan. He simply wants you to obey or have your obedience. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, as we said, he didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed God. How many people can trust God? You know, you can trust God. If you got the word of the Lord, the scriptures are the word of the Lord, and when God speaks to you, you know if it's scripture, then you know God's talking to you. You know, and so we can act on it. We can act on the word of God. Now, the word transition itself means a movement or a passage or a change in one's position, your state or your stage in life. You know, like right now, I'm going through a stage into my kind of a elderly position. I'm taking it as gracefully as I could. I've been trying to avoid it, you know, but it shows in different areas. Have to deal with my own body. You ever had to deal with your own body? First of all, I found that pounds didn't come off as quickly. You know, you could eat all night, and all of a sudden, next morning, it's all gone. You don't gain a pound. But now, you eat one, little piece of something, and then all of a sudden, it shows up in the morning. They said that's called old age, or you're getting old. Your metabolism changes. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. All of us, I think, can relate to that. Different things, you know. I used to wonder why I get up 3:00 in the morning, 4:00 in the morning. Why am I getting up? So I don't know. They say you're changing. Your body changes. They say to pray, but I when I pray, I fall asleep, which is actually a good thing. So there's different changes. We change from, you know, different age stages and ministry, work, different things. There's always a change. Some have difficulty in the transition, and they're afraid to make a move because, like I mentioned, they want the whole picture first. When you follow God, you don't always get a full picture. You have to trust God. It's hard to deal with the unknowns. You know, always, you don't, it's hard to deal with something you're not sure of. You think you should go this direction. You know, am I going to lose money? Are people going to be against me? What are people going to say? But if you're a person, you know, of faith, you can take it. You can say, yeah, I'm going to do it. No matter if it doesn't fit my personality, I'm going to make this change. The Apostle Paul was a person committed to change. When he was called by the Lord, and here's some things he said. First, we know Paul was a committed man, and he wanted his spirituality. God wants us to be committed, just like Paul was in his letters. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Paul, at the end of his life, he said this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, for which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, not only to me, but all to them also that love his appearing." He said that he fought a good fight. Moving ahead requires reliance upon God for everything that we need. He never leads us where he can't keep us. God will never give you a vision that he will not give you the provision. Well, God will show you something. He'll give you the finances, he'll give you the people, he'll give you whoever you need to go to the next level if God's talking to you. Now, if you got your own ideas, you're on your own. You know, Psalm 27 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain." At the end of our lives, you know, some people go for fame. They get some kind of glory. They want something for themselves. But at the end of their life, what difference does it make 100 years, 100, 200 years from now? What does it make 1,000 years from now what you want to do? And that's what we have in mind. What's it going to be like? Like, you know, when I decided I'm going to live for God and do what I'm doing today, I mean, I had other opportunities to have a career and do everything else that I felt I deserved and I wanted. But I stepped out of that into nothing. There was nobody here to give me a paycheck. No one to give me a pat on the back and say, "Sister and Brother Roma, you know, here's some money for the next month's rent." So we got out of school and we went this way because the Lord spoke to us. It's not always easy following God. I can guarantee you that. It's not always easy. Every one of us wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be a little bit of famous around themselves. Everybody wants everybody to like them. I want everybody to like what I choose in my life. I know picking Jesus wasn't always that, attractive. Especially among my friends when I first got born again, you know, and I made Jesus Lord of my life, and I no longer lived like them anymore. I wasn't talking like them no more. I didn't go where they were going anymore. I made a switch in my life. It was not easy. And when the Lord said to me, like, you know, I had to concentrate more on this here than the ice rink, I told my wife, you know, when I used to play hockey in my early 20s, I enjoyed in the 80s when I played hockey. It was wonderful. I actually could skate and keep up with people. I tried to hang on to it, but we had a team here in my 40s, you know. It was so hard to keep up with those guys. I couldn't get on the second time. You know, you switch. Your body doesn't respond like it used to. So I figured I'd hang up my skates, and my cousin says, "What are you going to do with your skates?" He phoned me up one day. He said, "What are you going to do with your skates, Roma? I wonder if I can have them." He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I'm gonna hang them up into a Native Hockey Hall of Shame," he says. So, at the Friendship Center, he said. Anyway, we always tease each other like that, so it was good. He loves me. Okay. He said, moved ahead requires reliance upon God. This course that he followed, this scripture said he finished his course. He fulfilled what God told him to do. He was ready to check out of this life with confidence. He said, "You know what? Hey, I did everything God told me to do. I'm not afraid to meet God." Scripture says that every one of us will kneel before Jesus one day and give account to our lives. It's in the scriptures. Read it in Romans and 1 Corinthians 5 there. And every one of us will sit. Well, kneel before Jesus, everybody, and you will give account of what you did with your life. And you know, when the Lord came to me, I remember in 1989, 90, when the Lord spoke to me, we went to Winnipeg in 1989. I was just a young man, just, you know, full of what I was going to do. You know, I think, here's what I want to do with my life. And so I was going in that direction. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into my car and spoke to me. and told me what I was going to do with my giftings. And first of all, I pleaded like I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, what giftings are you talking about? What is he? You know, what giftings? And so everybody's here is playing the same way I did. Let everybody be a liar, but God be true. The scripture says in 1 Peter 4:10 that everybody here has a gift in their life that they should use to the service and the work of God. Everybody, whether you're full-time in ministry, like myself, I'm sounding like Don Cherry over here. I think I should have drank some water or something. Yeah, John. So anyway, what did I say? Huh? Thank you. Give this lady a hand. Look at this. Praise God. Thank you so much. Forget about what I said. I'll come back to it another time. Yeah, everyone has a gift. You know, sometimes we don't realize that your gift that God's given you can be used in so many ways. You're not one-dimensional. Your gift is not one-dimensional. You have, you know, muscles that can move different ways, not just one way. You'd be looking funny on the dance floor, like me. So, here's what I understood. The things you cry about today, you'll laugh about tomorrow. There's so many things we cry about. Some of you are crying for a man. You'll see him 20 years later and say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Huh? The apostle was not crying about his past mistakes when he said, I'm ready to be offered today. I'm ready to go home. Lord, I'm ready to get out of this place if I have to. I'm almost near there myself, but I don't want to go right now. I want God to give me more. You know, like my wife said, I would have never thought in a million years that I would be doing what I'm doing today. When I was sitting at that jail cell over here over this jailhouse over here, I'm looking outside I climb up on the when they have these big bars, and I just climb up and I look out and I see all the young people going to the school there, Lakeview High School. And I would dream about that. I wish I was finishing high school. I didn't know where my life was going to be like, being in that jail. But I plead with God, God, if you could get me out of this, I will change my life. I'll do something. But you know, the first weekend I got out, I was back out there again on Cumberland Street, going from bar to bar. And we all promised God that we'll be different next time. And I didn't realize I had giftings. I didn't know I had giftings. I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't think I was any good, because people told me I wasn't any good. I was told that ever since I was a kid. Get away from here, you kids. You know? And people told me, you're going to be like your dad. You're going to be a drunk like your dad. And my dad was, you know, heavy. He drank heavy. And they knew my dad. But he died sober. He died Christian. He died born again. He came to Jesus. So the things you cry about, you know, right now you'll laugh about tomorrow. You say, hey, you'll laugh about it. Say, hey, you know, I used to, I used to lament about this, but now, you know, I can see God's plan. I see God's hand in it. I shouldn't have gone that direction. I wanted to do it for me. I was doing it for myself, for my own glory. Here's 1 Samuel 16:1, New Living Translation, saying, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. God told the same thing to Joshua about Moses. You know, to get on with your life. I said, get on with your life. You can't stay in the same spot and actually, just have a heart, full of pain and mourning for what you didn't have. Think about what you can have. Think about God has better plans for you. And sometimes it's hard for us to make that switch because maybe perhaps we haven't been trained spiritually to think that way. Because this world, if you live in this world, it'll train you to think defeat. How could it be possible? But God always has a possible. He always has a possibility. There's another way around this. There's another way. And so we don't have to stay in a mournful situation. Samuel said, 1 Samuel 16, this prophet was lamenting about the king and what happened to the kingdom and what all's going on. And God said to him, you've mourned long enough. I've rejected this King Saul. So fill your flask of oil and go to Bethlehem. Now find a man, Jesse, who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. Now God didn't tell this young prophet exactly what the man's name was. And he didn't say, here's how he looked. He was the youngest guy. He just said, go, I'm going to show you something. You know, sometimes God gives you a small picture. He don't give you everything. He wants you to obey him and trust him, to follow him. When you go, say, a lot of people, they want all, everything's all dressed up. And the Bible says man has always makes a plan for himself, but God has the last word on it. Amen? Let me just get my notes here. This keeps closing on me. So God wanted Samuel, like us, to move on to his next phase of assignment. Sometimes God will allow you to do things because you persist on staying somewhere or doing something else. And he'll allow you to. He'll allow you to do whatever you want to do. And when you get in trouble, don't say God failed you. Just be honest about it, that you're doing what you want to do. Because a lot of times we're selfish and we want to have a quick answer and we're impatient and we do things. So people cry about a lot of things that it has no real significance. Sometimes we're stuck living in the past, and now it's time for God's purposes to manifest in your life. God reveals the future. He'll always reveal the future of what's happening in your future. Here, God, Jesus speaks to his disciples. He says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth, this is the King James, John 16, 13. Howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I was telling Pastor Ken, we're driving down, we're coming back from Sudbury yesterday. I said, Pastor Ken, I said, I had a dream. I had a vision many years ago. I said, I saw myself driving all over northwestern Ontario. Driving to meetings just like where we went to. Last week, I was at a pastor's gathering in Sudbury. So we spoke there at Sudbury and spoke to a number of pastors. And it felt like I was doing this all my life. I stepped into an office that I didn't know I could actually operate in. Preaching to those pastors was just as easy or easier speaking to them than I was speaking to you. And I just stepped into another office. I never knew I had. I told Pastor Ken, I didn't mention specifically that, but you know what? I said, we're driving. He's been my driver. Thank God I would have never made it. Because I needed a driver that week because of my physical condition I was in that week. And I needed somebody there with me. Otherwise, I would have been on my own. I wouldn't waste his time. And thank you, Pastor Ken, for helping me drive. And I said to him, I saw this. I saw this in my spirit. I was driving everywhere. I was going everywhere. And I was a young man. I got my first job from the college. I graduated in 1981, and I was driving over to Kenora, Ontario. And I had a dream. I had a vision. All of a sudden, in my spirit, I saw myself traveling all over the north and driving different places and doing different meetings. In my own mind, I put my own twist into it. I put my own interpretation of exactly what I was doing. You have to be careful when God speaks to your heart that you don't put your own interpretation on it. Be patient and let God lead you. And that's one of the greatest things about our lives. We have to understand that we have to be patient. You know, I would like what I'm doing today to be a whole lot faster. But I know when I leave Thunder Bay one day, not soon, that they'll remember who I am. I'm going to leave a footprint here that they say, you know, there's a guy here that used to live here. His name is Roma Fisher. I'm going to build a big plaque for myself. No, I'm just kidding. You have to understand, you know, you leave a legacy. Every one of you will leave a legacy. You know, different people in your life. God can reveal tough days ahead. I thank God that, you know, He can reveal there's going to be stronger days, tough days where you have to endure some struggles. I know God's told me sometimes, you know, there's going to be hard times. I want you to make a decision, but it's going to be tough ahead. So hang on. So I'm glad when God gave me these certain things that He tells me to do. So if you don't do anything that's going to affect people, He might not talk to you like He talked to me, because my life affects a whole lot of people than you would. But he will talk to you. He'll talk to everybody. Some people, they hear God better because they spend time developing their spiritual ear and they tune themselves to God. And I want my life to matter because God spoke to me specifically what I'm doing today. And some of you, maybe you got some leeway. God didn't talk to you. You just say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, yeah, go ahead, do what you've got to do. But let's remain truthful and remain faithful to God and Jesus and what He wants us to do. Over in Acts 11, 27, 28, but I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a long story. God spoke to the prophet and said, there's hard days coming ahead. Some of you saw the video, and the prophet of God spoke to me, said, you know, I saw you on television, you're going to be doing this and that, and I was sitting there. That was a confirmation of what God already spoke to me about. My wife and I knew this. We were sitting there. We talked about doing productions on television, local, in the local area, but when the man of God came and spoke this, we never talked to him about anything about that. No one talked to him about that. Then he began to speak that word over me. And said this, and I said, well, yeah, I know God's talking, but you know what? Even if you get that, there's still doubt in your mind in the natural. I remember when I had my encounter with the Holy Spirit, I had such a dramatic experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, the dramatic experience with Jesus was something else. My life changed. But then I had an encounter with Holy Spirit, just like the Acts chapter 2, the 120. The Holy Spirit came upon, you know, even Mother Mary. And she spoke with tongues. Mother Mary spoke with tongues. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, Jesus' mom. And I remember as a Catholic, young Catholic boy, a friend of mine says, you know, you can have that experience today. I said, no. He said, I'll pray for you. I said, no, you can't pray for me. You're not a priest, I said. But I forgot that Jesus makes us kings and priests, all of us. So I prayed. I remember asking the Lord, and I had an encounter, and I had a tremendous encounter with God, just tremendous. I went into the spirit world. I went into another realm. This world to me disappeared, just like I was not even in this world. And I went out to the spirit, and it was glorious, wonderful, just full of joy. You can't explain it. And so after the next day I had that, I'm driving back to Kenora, the devil spoke to me. I don't know if exactly the devil himself, but one of his buddies spoke to me. And people say, well, you know, the devil came to me last night. I said, oh, the real devil came to you, right? But anyway, an evil spirit came to me and said, you didn't have that experience at all. You didn't speak with tongues. You didn't have that experience. That's... And it was just convincing. It was so convincing to me that it almost, you know, took it out of me. And I went to a meeting and I told one of my leader that I had in the committee. He's a PhD in marriage counseling, a pastor. And I talked to him. I had this experience. He said, no, you can't have that. You can't have that experience. That's not for today, he says to me. He's a PhD. in church. I don't know if he's reading the Bible, but I read Acts 2:4. It said in there, and then all the rest of the scriptures cooperate with it, that it's all for us. And Jesus said, well, I can have this. I said, it's too late. I already have it. I don't have to get any, amens from you, because I got it in the Bible here. But let me just close with this here. I've said enough with that. We have to be completely willing to follow the Lord in everything we do. First of all, let's say three things. First of all, let's learn to forgive. If you have any kind of bondage to hurts, any kind of resentment, any kind of grudge about anything, any kind of hurt, you're holding on to hurt feelings. As a First Nations boy, I was mad at a lot of people. Particularly, I was told somehow, someone told me that white people did it to me and I'm in this situation. I was mad at every white person. God's a wonderful God. And he can show you how to undo any thought that you have in your life. You know, because of my First Nation background and my position, I kind of was kind of militant in my thinking, and it colored everything black and white. And so God had to deal with me. And I'm sure he's dealing with a lot of people. Because I see sometimes their Facebook page, and I know God's dealing with that person because they're not there yet. And I'm not going to go around correcting everybody. That's not my job. God has, when people are saying stuff, don't go correcting them on Facebook. You're going to lose your opportunity to ever minister to them. And so learn to forgive, number one, if you're going to move ahead. Psychologist tells us that holding on to unforgiveness keeps us in chains. We don't allow ourselves to go free. Ephesians 4 and 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, that you may be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, has forgiven you. The Bible says that we have to act just like Jesus and forgive everybody. You cannot move successfully onto the next stage of your life if you're going to hang on to garbage from the past. Just let it go. Set yourself free this morning. Number two, quickly, you got to learn to forget the past, both good and bad. Don't let the good old days keep you in the past. Keep moving on ahead. There's more good old days. Your best days are ahead. Amen. Paul said, Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind me. I look forward. So we have to forget the past. Everybody say, I got to forgive. Come on, say, I got to forgive. Say, Lord, I forgive everybody. The second thing you got to do is forget the past. Say, forget the past. Say, I'm forgetting the past. The last thing here is to learn to walk by faith, just like Abraham. He stepped out in faith. He obeyed by faith. He said, you know what? I sense God's talking to me right here. You don't have to debate. If God says something good to you, go ahead and do it. I remember God taught me to obey him in finances. For me, he taught me in finances to give away money. I sometimes the last $100, I'd give away $100. God says to me, go give that lady over there $100. Don't even know her. Walking in church one day, coming to church, the Lord says, you know, that lady over there needs money. Go, can you give her that $100? I said, what am I going to use? I went ahead and gave that $100 because I had plans for it. I was going to give some to the church that morning. In those days, I didn't have money in the bank. It was all in my pocket. All the money I had was pocket. I didn't have no bank accounts and, a little car to get out of those days. Everything you kept was in your pocket. That's a long time ago. My kids, I remember Natasha say to me, Dad, I said, I don't have any money right now. You know, she's just a little girl. She said, no, Daddy, go to that box over there. Put that card in there. The money comes out of there. She hasn't changed. She hasn't changed yet. Come on, everybody, let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Say, I forgive everybody. Say, I forgive myself. Say, I'm letting go of the past. Say, I'm forgetting the past. What's happened has happened. I can never change it. I can't take it back. It's gone. But I'm going to look forward, though. I'm going to look forward in anticipation that great things are going to happen. And I'm walking by faith. I don't walk by how I feel. I don't walk by what I think alone. I walk by the Word of God. God is my trust. He is my reliance. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you today. Would you please lift your hand if you can do that. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Just go ahead and praise Him. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to stand and hear your word this morning, to be encouraged for a few minutes this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the great God that's working among us. Thank you for healing our bodies. I praise you, Lord, that you're healing people in this room right now. You're healing hearts right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're the healer of broken hearts. Thank you for healing broken hearts this morning, wounds. You said that the blows that you took upon your body, that's how we're healed, you said in your word. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the blows. The crown on the head so that I have good mental health, good thoughts. I don't have to live in anxiety and fear. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you. But every eye closed, every head bowed for one moment. There's somebody here that said, Pastor Roma, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I've never had the opportunity to do that. I want to do that this day. I want to come to Christ. I want to come to God. Years ago, a man called. He called me to the altar, and I went. I'm glad I went. The Bible says, if you confess me before sinful men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. This is a step of faith. If you're here in this room right now, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life publicly. This is an opportunity that has been afforded to you so that this is the time to say, I'm stepping out. I want to follow God. I want to look forward. I'm not looking back. I want to leave my past where it is. Jesus washed all my past, the Bible says. He wants something new in my life. So today, I'm going to step out, right, make that move, and I'm going to follow Jesus. If there's somebody here right now, it says, Pastor, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Lift your hand way up high right now. I want to, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is anybody else? 6. Step out of your chair right now. Don't even think about it. Get over here right now. I want to pray with you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. You need to come to God. You need forgiveness. You need God to change your ways. Come on, just come on. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray. Say, God, forgive me for walking in my own ways. I'm giving you my heart today. I'm giving you my life today. I'm giving you everything. Today I'll never be the same after this. It'll be glorious. I know there'll be tough days ahead. But you said you'll never leave me or forsake me. Jesus, thank you that I can be born again today. I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today is a new day for me. I accept the opportunity to walk with you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Give these guys a hand clap. And a praise, hallelujah, thank you. Well-